Hello, and welcome to episode 291. I just interrupted David.
What? Did you?
I just said hello.
Oh, I thought you were actually going to do the intro, and then I just jumped all over it. No. Yeah. Stomp.
Ow.
Hi.
Hello. Divisible by three.
It is divisible by three.
You can tell because it has a thing, you know, the stuff. I'm trying to remember what it was called. Digital root is the term they used in the Nonary games for it. I don't know if they invented that term or not, but it comes up a lot in those games, at least in the first one.
My name is Andy.
My name is Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
Hey! We should get a live studio audience for this podcast.
You can get a button that plays like, canned
noise?
Laughter and applause and ooh, and even the woo, 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 and all that stuff.
We can get Arsenio Hall on the podcast?
You could probably get Arsenio Hall on the podcast. I don't think
site.
He's busy.
Is he not on that site that we can pay him to record a woo?
I didn't bring any of my devices down here, so I'd have to double check. But yeah, he's probably on.
He's probably on
probably
Cameo.
A cameo. Yeah.
Poor Arsenio Hall.
If he is, I wonder how many times people said, "Yeah, I'll give you $50 if you just record a woot 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 for me."
But he didn't make the woot 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 noise. His audience made the woot 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 noise.
Yeah.
Were you picking at that?
I think that subtlety is going to be missed on most of the people that would pay him money on Cameo at this point.
Okay. Fair.
So, yeah, before announcements, I found something that was in the box that was in my old car, my old Buick, that sat in my driveway. Did I tell you about the story about my Buick when it finally got towed away off of my driveway?
No.
So, I bought a new car. The old car was actually... No, that was the Focus, my poor Ford Focus that was parked in the driveway here for... think like a year, and before it was parked in a different driveway for like 6 months, and by the time the tow truck came and grabbed it, all the brakes had locked up on it, and it was so sad because I kind of
anthropomorphize,
yes, that's the word, my poor car, because it was being dragged away from me.
It's screaming.
And it screamed all the way down the street. And the poor truck driver was, you know, he would stop the car and then go jerk it into reverse real quick and jerk it forward, thinking that would might
like break
unblock the brakes. It did not. Huh. That car just screamed as it was pulled away from me. I kind of really felt sad because he was with me for so long. And then I just like, nope. I get $200 for you. Go away. Yeah. Actually, $200 is a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what the median age of purchasers of new Buicks is?
Old.
73.
But, yeah, but oh my God, my original Buick, my parents, well, after my dad passed away, my mom, they had two cars. My mom just said, you just take this and you can just drive it forever. And that car lasted me like 10 years. It was a beast.
The last car that was just flat out given to me was given to me by my dad. It was a Neon.
Aww.
And don't judge me. Actually, feel free to judge me. This is terribly dangerous and I should not have done it. But the brakes kind of stopped working. And so I continued to drive it just using the emergency brake.
Oh, that's definitely not good.
So, you know, it's like, oh, here comes a red light. I would just kind of like, you know, just pull up on the, you know, because it had one of the lever ones. It wasn't just the on or off. And
sure.
So I could like kind of, it was like a throttle where I could like kind of feel exactly how much pressure I needed to put on them.
How long did you do this for?
What?
Listen here.
Listen, I was poor. I was extremely poor.
When I was in the Army and I had my old nice Chevy Chevette, it was the first car I ever owned. Bought it for, I think, like...
Was it red?
Nope.
Oh, no, you didn't have a little red Chevette.
It was maroon?
Close enough.
Maroon with a gigantic white Chevy symbol on the hood. Whatever. But yeah, that was my first car I ever owned. That was the car that I learned how to drive stick in.
Sure.
Which is fun. Which the one bad part about that is that you're in the largest army base in the world, and then you're in one of the largest, you're first in line at one of the exits to leave the army base during lunch hour, and then you blow out the clutch right there as first in line. That was not fun.
Going to neutral, and they can rear end you out of there.
Which base was that?
Fort Hood.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, it is lower. Yeah. 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 But yeah, so that was fun. And like you, I also ran the brakes to dead in that thing. But it was enough where I could, the harder I pressed on the brake pedals, it would actually activate the brakes somewhat.
Sure.
You'd they would be smashing into the metal all
the
way down.
Yeah, it's like you get to the point that it's like yep, it is grinding away the rotors. We theoretically need to do something about this at some point.
One of Raylene's cars, there was something going on, and we didn't realize what it was at the time, but we figured it out later. One of the brake pads was like warped. So instead of being flat, it kind of had a bow to it.
Oh, that's
And so when you went to push the brakes, it would like bounce. And so the whole car would shudder when you pushed the brakes until eventually you push it hard enough, it would just flatten against it, and then it would be fine. So like the car would shudder when you first started pushing the brakes, and then it would be okay. And we didn't realize what was going on until one time she pushed the brakes, and because of its curve, it just like got caught. And the brake just went thunk and just got torn out of the car. And then it fell on the road, and we just drove away. And then, you know, the other three brakes were fine. That one was just gone.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. That car, like a week, like a month later, the axle snapped in half. So we were done with it anyway.
No, my worst is I drove a car with an almost completely non-functional power steering pump for like 4 months because it was just one of those things that just kept slowly getting worse. And then it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, after you drive it for 20 minutes or so, it's like it warms up enough that it's like you can turn the wheel without.
Get your workout.
Yeah.
As long as the first 20 minutes of commute is in a straight line, you're good.
That was my Buick. My Buick, the power steering, because, well, it was all metal on the bottom, so the power steering wires, the hoses just got destroyed by the salt and sand that we have.
I had a probe that was like the wiring got messed up somewhere, where every time I would get in the car, it would shock me. Like when I touched the door frame to get in the car, it would just electrocute me briefly.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just dealt with that. And then unrelated to that, one time, you know, I drove down to my dad's place, and then I put in windshield wiper fluid, and the latch must not have fully engaged on the hood. So I'm driving up 90 from Illinois into Wisconsin, and just all of a sudden, boom, my hood just is blocking the windshield because the whole hood just opened and slammed against the front of the car. So it shockingly doesn't break the windshield. Like, no damage to the windshield, but so then I'm blind going 90. It's a little terrifying.
Sure.
But I get off the road without dying, and then the hood, I slam it back shut, but it had hyperextended, so now, so like, the hinge is broken. So, well, just the two corners, like, at the very outer edge, like, where the hood kind of, like, spikes, they're bent up. The bigger issue is inside. The hood never opened again for the entirety of the time I owned the car. Like, something had hyperextended, and then when I slammed it shut, it was like, cool, I'm never opening again. So the hood was permanently shut. Then later on, possibly related to the bad wiring, the battery died, so I needed to jump the car. So we just cut a hole in the hood so we could access the battery. I eventually left that car on like the side of the highway somewhere in Illinois.
That's the fate of a lot of your cars.
It is the fate of a lot of my cars. When I'm done with a car, it just stays there.
Casual fuck Illinois in the middle of the story, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, and that's where it was, because a different time I was driving down to my dad in the car, just like, I'm done now. And it just died on the side of the road. So I was pretty close to my dad. Yeah. So I called him. He comes and gets me. We drive to a used car lot, and I just give the title to the guy who sold me the new car. I'm like, here, you can have this one. He's like, all right, cool. Thanks.
Let me get some scrap metal off.
Yeah. Here's a tip.
Here's a tip. It's down the road.
Yeah. It was like, it's by mile marker, whatever the heck. It's got a hole in the hood, and it electrocutes you. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, my power steering was destroyed on the Buick. Scary. I'm actually pretty mechanically inclined, so I actually repaired the power steering wire.
Mm-hmm.
I repaired the brakes on that car. The time that the brakes went out was a very awesome day, because I was driving home from work, and I was going on M, kind of, that it's pretty much a straightaway, straight to work, when M was just one single road there before the construction. And the brakes had gone out, and I'm like, I didn't realize this. And I'm like, I want to get a soda at the gas station, which is over on the left. So I go to try to hit the brakes and try to turn left. And
neither of those things are happening.
Neither of those things are happening because, number one, it was also a snowstorm. So I thought it was just the snow that my car caught up on. Yeah, driving no brakes in snow is not good. I did make it home just fine, but yeah.
Another car I left on the side of the highway in Illinois, this one in a parking lot. I forgot about this car until listing cars I left on the side of the road in Illinois. I bought it from
so
a buddy.
This is three that I know of now.
Yeah. I bought this one Illinois. From a buddy for the mathematician, Andrew. You've met him a couple times. I bought this car from him for $50. It was painted with house paint.
Oh.
Like, it was just the trashiest thing ever. It was real rough. And I was driving to Gen Con, and it's just like, man, I don't like, you know, gears anymore. And so I just left it in a parking lot and called somebody who was also on the way to Gen Con, and they picked me up, and I carpooled with them to Gen Con and back, and then got a new car. Yeah. I don't know what happened to that one. I just left it in the parking lot of, like, a 7-Eleven, like, outside Chicago. I never saw it again. Never saw it again. I have no clue how long it stayed in that parking lot.
my old Buick, I ended up, so the water pump on it went bad and I ended up buying another car that had almost no transmission. I took the water pump out of that and put it in my Buick cause it was basically the same model.
Sure.
And that other car just sat in the parking lot for,
it's just that the car was cheaper than a water pump.
I think it was free.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah.
The guy gave it to me for maybe it was like a $50 or something like that. But yeah.
I successfully repaired a Honda Civic with a multimeter and a soldering iron once. Was everything shut down? And so I said, yeah, it's probably one of the fuses, and took a multimeter until I found the bad fuse, and then my wife soldered the fuse back together because it was going to take a week to actually get the actual fuse.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. We got it working.
Did you do the hillbilly fuse of just shoving a shotgun shell in there?
No.
I forgot to mention too. So my Chevette that I got, I also fixed. It was not running when I got it. So you would turn the key, nothing would happen. So I just followed. I asked somebody who was a mechanic on, because I worked in a service battery for the Army, and I just asked the mechanic, I'm like, what do you think is wrong? And he was like, this, this, and this. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll replace that. And I just followed the chain up, and eventually had a car running, and I, you know, got it to die in the middle of an intersection.
Hooray!
As long as we're talking about cars, that I am old. I have officially last week become old. Because
you got a minivan?
No, I want a Corvette.
You want a Corvette?
Yes.
In Wisconsin? Are you stupid?
Apparently.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be able to drive
the weather's the weather's beautiful here for convertibles, as far as I'm concerned.
Right now, yes.
But most of the year, yeah.
Most of the year, but I mean, those harsh months, those 3 to 4 months from basically November to February, that's the worst time to drive.
You want to get a Jeep, like the soft top Jeep? Like Wrangler Jeep. Because the thing is, that's a convertible for 9 months out of the year, and it's four-wheel drive for the other 3 months out of the year. That's actually a great Wisconsin vehicle.
Yeah.
But it doesn't hold heat very well. It's basically you freeze to death as you're driving the Jeep down the road with all of the plastic windows fogged up.
Especially if you're like me, where you get your brother's Jeep, and he had torn out the carpeting in the bottom of it.
Oh, wow.
So, because it's just like a layer of carpet right on top of the metal frame. The thing is, when you do that, like, I don't know if he did it because he was, like, driving through rivers or whatever.
Sure.
And so, there's a drain hole right, like, between the driver's legs. There's a hole, like, an inch and a half around just goes through to nothingness.
Yeah.
And so when you're driving and it's cold, that is just a blast of icy air going straight into your crotch the whole time you're driving to and from Chicago. So what you do if you're me is you just put your foot right over it. And so basically it's just boring frostbite directly into the middle of your foot.
So the question is, where do you want frostbite?
Yeah, you just have to move it around, you know, switched feet.
But no, yeah, I have resisted ever having any interest in a Corvette, and then they came out with a mid-engined one. I'm like, no, I actually want one of those.
There's a, was it the Mustang has got a new concept that looks like it's from the 60s Mustang? I thought I saw that.
Maybe. You can get a Baccaruda.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to get a new car once I'm gainfully employed. And I had zero interest in a Corvette. And then it's like, okay, no, the new ones are nice. Because I mean, back before I decided I hated everything I was doing in the industry and went back to school to do science. I was test driving cars and I drove a Corvette and this was 10 years ago and my God was that thing fast, but I just didn't enjoy driving it.
I think the style of Corvette I enjoy is the old ones where I think of a Corvette, which is not very good descriptive at all to everyone else here. It's the
I know what you mean, like the C4,
like around the 70s or so.
Yeah, C4. Yeah. A C4, the classic Stingray that looks really nice, but had a hamster wheel for the engine.
That's fine with me.
Yeah, I mean that's what an MGB is as well. Yeah. And that's one of my like ooh cars.
No, I mean I know exactly what you're talking about. Those were like some of the most beautiful cars. Except that was like in the middle of the emission standards when the government said, okay, guys, you actually have to make cars that aren't going to make all of our cities unlivable. And Detroit was like, well, fuck you guys. You get a V8 that has 180 horsepower. And so yeah.
I mean, if some guys can take their Honda Civic and make it sound like a race car, then I could do that with a Corvette.
Get whistle tips.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah.
It's so obnoxious. When I see the big giant fake spoiler in the back of the car and I hear look
it's
over
like
and
a Corolla.
A Toyota Corolla.
It's Tercel.
Just something obnoxious.
That's every time I see that, I think to myself, my God, somebody paid good money to make that car sound like that.
It's like you're not fooling anybody.
I mean honestly,
well, you're fooling people who can't see your car.
Yeah.
Maybe, but it's like the equivalent of putting baseball cards in your bicycle spokes.
Oh God, no. I mean, I thought this was dumb enough that it's like in the current generation of Mustang, when they built it, they put a tube from the engine to the driver's compartment so that you can open. It transmits sound from the engine compartment to the cabin. I mean, you can turn this on and off.
I misunderstood. They were tapping into the millennial market by putting a tube from the exhaust pipe to the driver's compartment.
Yeah,
because that's what every millennial wants.
It's my dream car.
I'm going 90. No, I want to go to sleep.
I'm going night every night.
But did this in the Mustang so that you could hear the engine better if you wanted to. Oh. And they have done something completely dumb in the new Corvette. And again, I'm still stupid because I want this, and this is something that I would turn off the second I acquired the vehicle. But they have a microphone. They don't have the tube, but they have a microphone in the engine compartment that they just play through the speakers.
No.
Which is just the dumbest
thing. Yeah, it's just stupid.
Yeah. On the other hand, some people, that's really what they like. Like my uncle, my dad's brother, the first record he ever owned was just the sound of a Camaro, I think it was, just doing laps.
Yeah.
That's all it was just a 45.
I could see that being relaxing, driving. Potentially.
He was just a kid, and he liked the sound of the car.
Yeah. I could see that. I mean, people get, you know, like...
He also has a DVD that all it is pictures of planes taking off and landing at airports. And, like, he has one DVD that's just Heathrow one DVD that's, like, just O'Hare. He has a whole collection.
Is he six?
He likes the vehicles.
Does he have videos of backhoes and dump trucks?
The other question is, is he German?
Thanksgiving. Yes. We were there for Thanksgiving, and he we're watching this, and it's just, like, a static camera just pointed at a runway, and you'll see a plane just land, and then later you'll see another plane take off, and it'll be like, wait, this next one's a really good one, and it's just a plane takes off. It's like, that's the same thing. It's like, no, this one's my favorite. And he just watches a plane land. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever makes you happy.
I
guarantee he would love that microphone speaker noise thing.
But no, there was a report on it that's what they were doing in the new Corvette, and I was like, shit, if they can't turn it off, I will figure out where the line is and fucking cut it, because that's stupid, but I still want the car.
Consider how electrical the car is, you do that, the whole thing will shut down. I like the idea of electric cars, I actually would like to own a Tesla, but the issue is that they don't have very good mileage. Like, if I wanted to go to Lansing, Michigan, I would have to stop over in fucking Chicago or something to recharge the goddamn car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you'd
they
be
only
in
have
Chicago
like 300.
For 2 hours.
Yeah, they're good commuter cars. They're not good long. Yeah. You know.
Well, I mean that's. I think for the most part I mean that's a reasonable criticism for the car as a single car to own. But almost everybody that owns an electric car, it is not the only car in their household.
Fair. No, but I like the idea of the electric car because they're generally very silent.
Yeah.
But you can have sound effects added.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would want to have like the Jetsons like, noise of their there's going
been,
by.
Yeah, there has been some interest in making the sound effects legally mandated in some cities.
For safety reasons. I know they just this year they came out with an electric Harley. And a Harley needs to sound like a Harley. Like, that's part of why people buy a Harley. And, the Harley-Davidson just put a noisemaker on it so it sounds like a Harley while it drives around because people would not buy a silent Harley.
Yeah,
it really bothers me when my muffler falls off of my car and it makes a lot of fucking noise,
mm-hmm.
yet my neighbor can just roar up his fucking Harley at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. and not get in trouble with the cops.
No. Again, somebody paid good money for it to sound
I paid
that
good
way.
Money to run over that thing that knocked off my muffler.
That's the thing that gets me. I mean, I like the big engine that I can feel it under strain, making the car accelerate. But fuck that much noise.
Sometimes I make dirty faces at the camera just to make sure they're paying attention. You caught me.
Welcome to the Mechanics Workshop with
Andy
and Dave.
What were the? They weren't the Statler brothers. That's Statler and Waldorf. Who were Click and Clack? The Tappet brothers.
Mm-hmm.
It's what?
You never heard Click and Clack?
The car talk guys on NPR.
I don't listen to NPR.
Well,
I'm not
I mean,
that liberal
they're yet. Off the air now because one of them died.
Yeah.
And they kept doing reruns for like 5 years after he died. But eventually they were like, you know, we can't just keep doing a car advice thing that's 10 years out of date. So they stopped. But yeah.
I thought you were saying that NPR died.
No, NPR will never die.
I love the moment. I was listening to it one time when somebody was describing a problem with a fluid leaking, and then a lot of them said, "Yeah," and it's like if it's brake fluid, it's sweet, and the other one's like, "No, don't identify leaking fluid by taste."
Yeah, it was actually a fun show, even if you're not a huge car inclined person. They were entertaining enough, and they had little puzzles every week that was also fun. Yeah, good stuff. And one of them died. The end.
Aww.
They even had like a cartoon show on like PBS. True story.
That's cool.
Announcement.
Yeah, do we have any announcements?
Is Michigan GT this coming weekend?
Yes.
Michigan GT is this coming weekend. The end.
At least 1/3 of us is going to the Michigan GT.
Yep.
Yeah.
I believe exactly 1/3 of us are going to the Michigan GT. And then there, Warfare Weekend still coming up.
Game Hole Con
is also in November.
Just in case, well, it's sold out, but Second Wind tournament for Guild Ball is happening on the 23rd, I want to say. It's the weekend after the GT.
The 19th?
The 19th, yes.
Let's see if I can remember what races we rolled up for the Twilight Inferium.
You got a fucking pad right there.
Well, no, I know. I could look it up. I could look it up, but I'm going to see.
We went through that. You forgot like 2 minutes after you
and then I remembered them. 3 minutes after. It was a one-minute gap. So I know Federation of Soul was in there. Sardic Nor was in there. Arborek was in there. The Ghosts of Krios were in there.
Is that Krios 4?
Yep. The Lizic Mine Net was in there. And Ysaril Tribes. See? I remembered. What do you think of that selection of races, David?
Seems fine.
Yeah, I think they're an interesting tactical thing. Yeah, fuck you. Fine. We're done.
I have no idea. I just play what's given to me at an event, and then Nathan plays it better the next event.
I mean, learn from other people's errors.
Yeah.
Like, failure is the best learning tool, especially if it isn't yours. Like the what was it, Super Cop? No, it wasn't Super Cop. It was
Space Cop.
That other Jackie Chan. No, the Jackie Chan. Who am I? The Jackie Chan movie, Who Am I, has one of my favorite little fight scenes where it's him against basically like two Agent Smiths. It's like CIA guys with the suit and tie and the sunglasses or whatever. And they don't want to, they want to do a fair fight. And so one of them sits out while the other one fights Jackie Chan. So he's fighting the first guy and like he grabs the guy's tie and holds it and like starts punching him in the face. And so the other guy on the sideline just takes his tie off and sits it on the bench next to him. And like he grabs the guy's like jacket and pulls over his head and like kicks him in the head. And the other guy just takes his jacket off and sets it down on the bench next to him. It's just the funniest little thing.
You know what my favorite fight scene in Jackie Chan movie is?
Is it one of the Drunken Master 2 ones?
It is all of them.
Okay, yeah, I can get behind that.
Just all of Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Legend of the Drunken Master, at least basically Drunken Master 2.
Yeah, Drunken Master 2 is almost universally considered the best kung fu movie.
It is just amazing. You've seen it, haven't you? Okay, good.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the absolute classics of the genre.
Mm-hmm. That and the one with the two brothers. This isn't Jackie Chan, but as far as classics of kung fu, the two brothers where one of them doesn't have legs and the other one doesn't have arms.
No, I have not.
Yeah, they're actual like people who were born missing these limbs, and so the whole plot is that there's these two brothers. One has no legs and one has no arms, and they have to kung fu their way through some plot of some kind. It's actually super cool.
I think my other favorite kung fu movie is Kung Fu Hustle.
Kung Fu Hustle is super good. I think I actually kind of still prefer Shaolin Soccer over Kung Fu Hustle.
I can see that.
I think
that,
that's the hipster in me. I'm not certain.
I like Shaolin Soccer.
They're both good. Yeah. Like I'm not saying
Hustle's
either
good. I mean, we're arguing about A-plus and A movies.
Right.
maybe a little slightly lower grade. But no, those are... I just forced Leslie to watch... Shaolin Soccer recently, and she was basically the whole time going, what is going on?
There's soccer.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, your standard underdog sport film.
God, what happened to Stephen Chow? I mean, he's like done nothing since that point. He did the one Alien movie, and I think he hasn't really done much since then.
Probably not.
He was doing a lot of good comedy.
I watched Kung Fu Hustle with Raylene and told her, like, as the movie started, I was like, you know, you're going to like the landlady in this movie. She reminds me of you. And I'm not certain how well that went over. We both agreed it was accurate, but that doesn't necessarily mean I should have said it.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Like, just because it's true doesn't mean you should say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just... Are you looking up Stephen Chow right now?
I am.
He really has not done... I think he was like one animated flick. I think he started doing some animated stuff, but he has not done really much since Kung Fu Hustle.
Well, I mean, after you make Kung Fu Hustle and Shaolin Soccer, I can seriously see looking at that and saying, yeah, this isn't going to be as good. I think I'm going to go drink instead.
Sure.
He has made four movies since Kung Fu Hustle as director. I just looked at director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
CJ7. I don't know if that's the alien movie you were
talking about. Yeah, I think it is. Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely a little alien
thing.
Like
a goofy little
green
thingy.
Then in 2013, he did a version of Journey to the West, which Journey to the West is usually a very good story. That one Xbox game is super good. That's based on it.
Which one?
Enslaved, Journey to the West. Enslaved.
It's easily. I would love to see that game remastered. It is such a. It's done by Andy Serkis. Mm-hmm. So all the
main character, he mocaps.
Yeah, he mocaps it, and it's really really good game.
So 2016, he had a movie called The Mermaid, and then there's one in this year called The New King of Comedy. So with that aside,
so he's doing another king because it was
the Enslaved thing. First time I played it. In fact, I think still only time I played it. So Andy had the game. He was talking about how much he loved this game. It's when I was living with Andy, and he's like, you need to try it. I'm like, sure, I'll try it. And so I started playing it, and Andy, and I'm just kicking the game's ass. And Andy is annoyed / confused because he's like, I had a lot of difficulty with this first boss, and I just mopped the fucking floor with the guy. Like, I'm apparently the greatest player of this video game ever. Like, I should be in esports.
Son of a bitch.
And so I'm just steamrolling through the game, and Andy's getting more and more annoyed. And then we catch on to the fact that since he had, like, platinum 100%ed it. He had unlocked a whole bunch of upgrades that were universal across all save files.
Yeah.
So my guy was just this unkillable god because of all the effort Andy put into the game.
It started rolling back into me when you mentioned the story. Yeah. I remember just playing the demo of the game. And the demo of the game is very close to the very beginning of the game. And it felt like you were, at the time, playing the cinematic sequence. Because that's how well done it was. Mm-hmm. Do you have a 360 that's functional?
I do not believe so.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if it is or is not in the pile of electronics in my basement. And I don't think it is. I think I gave it to one of my in-laws who had a kid when we moved up here.
Yeah, you can get one for like $20.
Yeah. I mean, it was overlooked.
Yeah,
it
definitely.
It was one of those games that fell through the cracks. I think it was released around the same time as some other crazy, insane. I would rank it as the
sort of had the Battleborn syndrome.
Titanfall 2.
Well,
I would rank it as good as that. Basically, Titanfall 2 is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The single player campaign, that is.
I think it is like a Titanfall situation, but I don't think it is a Titanfall 2 situation, but I don't think it is so much in that it came out around something else. I think it's the other thing that killed Titanfall 2, which is that the producer decided that they didn't care enough about it, and they just kind of flopped it out there and didn't support it with ad campaigns and stuff. My guess is that probably happened to it.
God, that demo, when I got that, it sold me. There's a really awesome sequence because you're in a plane kind of flying towards New York. It's all a crazy, dilapidated New York, and you're flying, I believe, past the Statue of Liberty, and you're trying to climb the plane to avoid the wing hitting the Statue of Liberty. Oh.
Good times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I almost want to go load that up now.
But by all means. Nothing's wrong with playing a favorite old video game every once in a while.
Speaking of old, my favorite Facebook poster, Thundercracker, posted some artwork for Thundar the Barbarian, which you know, actually was some really cool. I mean, it was one of the better versions of Ookla that I've ever seen, because Ookla is a mock, and he's basically a Chewbacca. That's pretty much what he is.
And of course, he's drawn with like 8 lines.
Yeah. Yeah, but some fan art he posted up was really awesome. That got me thinking. It was like, fuck, that should be available on Amazon. I should be able to get, unfortunately, I'm going to Amazon. But anyway, I should be able to get the entire series of that. And I looked, found it for $20, and it's on its way. And then immediately it said after I hit the purchase button, it was like, other users have also bought this. And it was the Herculoids is the first one there. So I'm like, fuck. And so I added that to my shopping cart and bought that too for $20. So I will have the Herculoids the entire run and Thundar the Barbarian the entire run. And it'll be awesome.
There is a band that's named Ookla the Mock.
Yep. Yep. I was looking up Ookla just before they were the first ones to come up, actually.
Wow.
The whole world building for Thundar is really cool.
He's a barbarian.
No,
it's space.
Not in space. It's on Earth. It's after the moon exploded.
Earth is in space.
Yes, yeah. Earth is in
that's
space.
So then I was correct. He's in space.
Okay, Nathan, in space.
Yeah, I'm just saying. If Star Trek is in space, so's real life.
Star Trek is more in space than us.
We're all surrounded by infinite space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How much space do you need to have around you?
I'm also trying to defend a fictional series with realism. Yeah.
But now you're just telling me that the Muppet Show sequence, Pigs in Space, the title is just redundant.
Well, yeah, it's just, you know, letting you know.
No.
I mean, it's technically true.
Yeah.
Ookla the Mock.
Are they working on a new Muppet series again?
Probably not.
I thought I saw a commercial recently with
I don't know who has the rights to it.
The Muppets are Disney still, I think. Mm-hmm. The Muppets are one of those things where like everybody likes them, but for some reason they don't leverage for high profit.
Everybody loves the Muppets. Everyone talks about how much they love the Muppets, but when they're on TV, no one watches them.
Yeah. And I don't know how what kind of money the second of the new Muppet movies made, but there's been nothing much after that.
The Happy Time Murders?
No, the actual, like...
that was made by a Henson.
Yes, but it wasn't the Muppets, as in Kermit, Miss Piggy, etc.
Black sheep of the family.
Yeah. But,
It was better than what I thought it would be.
It definitely was. We both were pleasantly surprised when we saw that. I don't even remember what it was called. Like, that's the thing. It's got the evil Kermit meme. Like, the me-to-me meme came out of that. Fucking A.
Is it a Muppet movie?
Yes. Yes.
Are you talking about with Jason Segel?
No, there was a second one.
I don't remember that. With Jason Segel?
I don't know if he was in the second one.
I remember the first one being decent.
Muppets Most Wanted came out in 2014.
I've never heard of it.
Didn't what's his name make a movie of that? Who's the bad actor? Jamie Kennedy? Didn't Jamie Kennedy have a Most Wanted?
Nobody wants Jamie Kennedy.
I think there was a Most Wanted with Jamie Kennedy. Because I remember him in his stupid sideways backwards hat.
So Dominic Bad Guy, played by Ricky Gervais, is the Muppets' new manager, and he convinces the gang to embark on a world tour. Kermit the Frog doubts that it's a good idea, feeling that's proven right when lookalike Constantine escapes from prison, takes Kermit's place, and lands Miss Piggy's sweetie in a Siberian prison. While the Frog tries to convince his captors of his true identity, Constantine and Dominic are free to carry out their plan to steal London's crown jewels.
I swear I remember seeing this now, but I don't remember it at all.
Yeah,
because I think that
meme I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never heard of this before because I would have remembered a character named Dominic Bad Guy.
See, with the
I know the meme. Yeah. I had no idea.
But
where
I think because I remember that they were talking about let's do the red line travel thing or something like that.
Maybe, but that's the point. Is like the second movie came out and just this is the response people had, and you like the Muppets.
I do. I don't remember.
That's the thing about the Muppets. Everybody fucking loves the Muppets. And yet,
I mean, yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, all you need to do to demonstrate the universal popularity of the Muppets is to walk into a middle of a room and say "mana mana."
Yeah,
no, yeah. Don't do it.
Well, and again, like, and then that's not even just like that people know them, or it's like the earworm and stuff. Like, nobody doesn't love Kermit. Nobody doesn't love Animal. Nobody doesn't love every goddamn Muppet. No. They're universally beloved, and yet.
I think the guy with the boomerang fish should get more love.
Sure.
I think I can't remember his name, but he's the guy who also likes to blow up shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Except Fozzie. Everyone hates Fozzie.
As I've gotten older, I have enjoyed his jokes more because he is literally a dad joke machine. And Walter and Statler
and Waldorf.
Statler and Waldorf, yes. Those guys are great, too. Mm-hmm. Somebody want to beep? How long have we been talking? Well, we've been 40 minutes of this.
No. Yeah.
We've been sticking with a topic and flowing with a topic until it flows into another topic.
We've mostly been talking about getting old, though, at this point.
That's pretty much the case. Yeah. I'm going to be bald soon.
Yeah.
You can see, yeah, look at that. Oh, it looks horrible.
What?
I didn't.
Yeah, I'm going bald too.
Right, oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you would, yes.
Yeah, I'm going bald. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did just wash my hair this morning, so I didn't put any hairspray or anything in it to try to keep it over the hole.
Mine's overly poofy because I just washed it and... what's that other stuff that's not shampoo? Conditioner and whatever, but I didn't put anything in it to like weigh it down. And so it goes, whoop. I have very, very fluffy hair.
Mine's very soft too.
Yeah.
Fucking hey, what the hell are we doing?
I'm just saying, the Muppets.
Yeah. I mean, I talk about how much I love The Dark Crystal, and I have yet to watch the fucking series again.
See my new t-shirt I
got?
Yeah,
I did see, yeah. I see the 100% organic Gelfling essence.
There was a version that had Skeksil, and I'm like, listen, everybody loves Skeksil. He's iconic. He's the one that everybody thinks of when you say Dark Crystal. That's the first character people picture in their head.
I think Chamberlain.
That's Skeksil.
Oh, okay, okay.
And but Skektek's the one who makes the fucking essence. Like, and so I actually had to find an alternate t-shirt that was more accurate to the mythos.
Sure.
Because it would bug me to have a Chamberlain shirt hawking. Now, somebody, when I was talking about this, they're like, yeah, but he's like the hype man. He's the face of the product.
Sure, yeah. He's the Taco Bell dog.
Yeah, he's yeah, exactly. He did not make the tacos, but he's out there.
I'm not going to say it.
Yokiro Essence.
Gelfling.
Plus, Skektek was voiced by Mark Hamill in the new one, and you can't go wrong with that.
It's on. From what I've heard, he nailed it as well.
He's fucking wonderful in it.
No, I need to actually not do something on a day. Well, on a weekend, so I can actually watch it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say it at some point, but I'm in grad school and have kids, so at some point that might happen.
You probably shouldn't let your kids watch it.
Maybe. Hey, you know, it kind of has a happy ending if you forget that it's a prequel and what things are like in the movie. Good old Mark Hamill. There's a great scene. So, like, the other Skeksis start to, like, kind of bully him because they want more and more essence. And so he, like, they'll all have dinner. He's like, hey, can I come up to dinner? And they're like, no, go make more essence. We need more essence. No food for you until you make more. And so there's a scene where he's down in his lab, and he's, like, hooking animals up to, like, electrodes to, like, torture them to death and extract all this. And he's like, no one suffers more than I do, like, while he's murdering things. Like, oh, this is so gloriously hilarious and wrong for a kid's show. No creature on Thra whose life is as bad as mine, he says, as he's vivisecting some poor little cat.
I just watched something recently. We should for every day of, or every time we podcast in October, we should have a discussion about a movie.
Okay.
That I should have brought up before so we could have planned and actually talked about it, but... I just, well, at least a quick Halloween recommendation for a movie. I want to recommend The Gate. You should go watch The Gate.
Is that the one with the Buseys?
That is the one that has the Buseys in our thing. It is gloriously 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And actually has a pretty good overall theme in it for what defeats the baddies. Also has a very 80s theme of how you summon the baddies in it, because it's a friend of the main character who is into European metal, who has a disc, or I'm sorry, an album by said European metal people that had the book, the Dark Book, in it, which told them how to open a gate.
Andy,
hell.
Are you in this movie?
No, I'm not in this movie. Have you seen The Gate at all?
Well, you've seen the Buseys.
Yeah, the Buseys that's in there. Mm-hmm. So I believe it's Harry, I can't say his last
Harryhausen?
Name. Harryhausen. Is it Harry Harryhausen?
No, it's Ray Harryhausen.
Ray Harryhausen, okay. Yeah. Harry Harryhausen.
That's his nephew.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He did all the stop animation for King Kong, the original back in the 30s.
The Sinbad films, all the stop motion Skellymans, Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, so this movie, it's a, like a mixture of the animatronics and a mixture of puppets, mixture of people in actual suits, and it's filmed so well that it still, even nowadays, it still stands the test of time. But it is a glorious, entertaining romp that traumatized me as a child that might still traumatize people now.
When we get to recommendations, I also am going to have an 80s children's horror movie.
Well, we could do
as
that
part
now.
Of my recommendation. No, those are at the end. There's no, a system. We have a not Halloween 6 minute abs. Seven.
We have a new Halloween thing though.
Well,
we're being the October thing.
But my recommendation is not just that. It's part of my recommendation. I have a more broad-reaching recommendation.
But we could do the Halloween thing now, and then do your other half later. After Zappity Grumbles.
David, this is all wrong.
The things are changing. We must resist change.
Yeah. When we get to episode 300, when we're all wearing luchador masks, and there's an actual ring down here.
I'm in.
Who said backyard wrestling when you can have basement wrestling?
What do you mean we were wearing luchador masks?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, who?
I didn't, what? Why didn't we podcast last week, by the way?
I don't know. I saw that our channel was hacked and was taken over by two luchadors.
How dare they?
El Diablo, Barbado, and
the Angry Capybara.
Oh. you translated it already?
Well, after these people, I was trying to track down these gentlemen, and so I translated his introduction. None of this works because we stupidly went by our real names, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if we'd thought about it, we would have just introduced ourselves as the wrestler names instead of saying, hi, I'm Andy, also known as, and hi, I'm Nathan, also known as.
I could
go edit that and this.
Edit?
Lance. Lance.
Edit? I'm not sure if Lance, he still edits their Gilball podcast.
Does he?
Yeah.
People edit podcasts.
Fools.
Just get it right the first time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You got to have a steady stream of words. Not consciousness. I mean, just words. You can just spill off.
Sure, just talking sleep.
Yeah.
So speaking of, this whole conversation started because you were talking about this box being in your Buick, mm-hmm. and we never got to the box, by the way.
40 minutes ago.
So anyway, yeah. This box that you were talking about.
Yeah, so I was thinking I would just give some of the stuff away in the box.
I peeked.
Yeah, it's things that are not useful at all, but it is a full box of shadows.
Yep.
And okay. They are all C-type shinobi shadows, I believe.
It does look like all of them are C-type shinobi shadows.
Yeah, I think this is back when I was a PG and I was doing Mompok. And I think Privateer gave me a whole box. I'm not sure if I was supposed to get a whole box. But
well, they were... The shadows and the glass were participation awards.
Yeah.
So if you went to a Monpok tournament, everyone in attendance got a unit.
Yep.
And the glass ones were cool because they were like higher stats, but like...
They're literally glass.
Like once they died, like they were gone forever or something. I forget what the glass rule did. It made them very fragile, obviously.
They were not something that you actually ended up bringing into a game. I don't think they had better stats. I think they were maybe cheaper to put out. But yeah, they were just not good. Shadows were actually pretty decent, but they were more expensive, but they had stealth.
Correct. Like these are cost 2 for a grunt, whereas a grunt would normally be cost 1.
Yep.
But yeah. That's neat.
Blarg. So I have a whole bunch of them. If you guys are listening, just message me. I'll bring them to Warfare Weekend if you want a shadow.
Every Crippled System listener gets a free shadow C-type shinobi. I think there's enough listeners? Here for all of our listeners
I think
to get three of them.
And then we each get 5.
Yes. Listen, our one listener gets these 3.
Okay.
And then that's my 5, and then that's your 5, and then that's David's 5.
Yeah.
And then, and
Toothless
got it.
Gets a couple.
Toothless gets a couple. We'll put one back here. That one goes there.
Oh, I have another mini crate to put up there. I finally got my mini crate. Dang it.
So is this going to be a regular part of the podcast now? Is I'm giving away stuff from Andy's Buick?
From Andy's Buick? I do have a box over that's from Andy's Buick.
Oh, next great. Week, one lucky listener gets a catalytic converter.
No, my Buick did not have a catalytic converter. I went with a straight pipe conversion. Wait, I wasn't supposed to say that.
My pickup didn't have a catalytic converter because the guy who sold it to me had taken it out for money before he sold me the pickup.
Oh, jeez. Was that the pickup that was left over by
Verona Road? Yeah. The one where I went to pull out the dipstick and it just tore out a chunk of the engine.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. And then I just threw that in the cab and walked to work.
Yeah.
So you do discard cars in Wisconsin too?
Yes. Two of them were Illinois. One was Wisconsin.
Are you sure there's not been more?
There's one over in Rockford, one down by Chicago, this one here in Wisconsin. Let's see. Were other cars? So the Taurus, I actually did like sell for scrap after the flood destroyed it. The Tercel. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's when I'm done with a car, whatever.
It's just abandoned.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think all the other ones I actually did like sell for scrap metal. And I probably could have done it with the pickup. I just didn't bother.
Yeah, that was like when the engine on our Pacifica died, I called our mechanic and said and asked for an estimate to fix it, and her response was don't.
Yeah. Zappity.
Zappity. Oh, am I supposed to look those up? Shit. So somebody vamp, because I don't have the Zappity grumbles up.
I want to suck your blood. Get it? Because vamp?
Yeah.
Vamps?
Well, you got it.
Oh, Rip Taylor died.
No.
I didn't know he didn't die 20 years ago.
Are you sure that's not recent?
Is that current? I thought he was dead.
It's the AV Club. So
one hour ago says Rip Taylor died. I mean, it's possible that he just like for the last decade. Hey, you keep looking stuff up. I'm vamping. It's possible for the last decade he's just been out of public eye because he had like a stroke or something. That oft times happens with celebrities. It's kind of like how...
Tim Curry.
Sure. Although I think he's still somewhat functional. I was going to say more like, God damn it. The guy who's not the other guy. So the guy who he, I'm getting there. I'll remember her name eventually. Catherine Zeta-Jones. Catherine Zeta-Jones' husband's dad.
Michael Douglas?
His dad. Kirk Douglas. Kirk Douglas is like 1,000, but he's still alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this was one of those situations.
They can't de-age Kirk Douglas in a film. They're going to do that only to Michael Douglas. So I actually have no idea if the Packers won yet, but they were ahead by 17, I think, going into the half, and then they were still doing well.
Speaking of the Packers, when it's fourth and goal on, or when it's first and goal on the one, maybe just run it.
Maybe. No, yeah. Pass 4 times.
Yeah.
And then when you have the chance again, throw an interception.
Like, I could get a yard if you gave me 4 run attempts.
I would love to see that. I'd love to see you in like full NFL pads.
I trust that if I just went straight up the middle, I'm not going to try going to the outside or anything. This is all offensive line. I'm doing nothing but falling forward behind the athletes. I think they could get me 3 feet in 4 attempts.
God, like it would be like one of some of the videos I've seen of like where they have the poor disabled kid or handicapped kid, and the team gives them the ball, and they all run with them down the line, and then some jackass safety from the other team just hard plasters him.
Well, yeah, I mean, my point is that would happen. That's why I don't want to be out in the field. If this is straight up the middle, the heap. I'm running into a brick wall. I'm not doing any effort. It's just the brick wall needs to go 10 inches per time.
I mean, yeah, I mean, this is also the thing that it's like Peyton Manning had a few rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Because that I was watching one of the games when one of them happened, and that he literally waddled over the goal line because the safety was standing there looking around. It's like, wait, what? And interviewed after the game, there's like, look, nobody was expecting Peyton Manning to run with the ball.
Yeah. See, it's like a Rudy situation.
I don't know. it's a Rudy situation where you get plastered at the very end. That's...
Yeah. I have faith in the offensive line.
The Packers' offensive line?
To go 10 inches? Just 10 inches, guys. I believe in you. Actually, nine inches.
Yeah,
just straight up the gut. You go 9 inches on average over 4 attempts.
Yeah.
I'm not jumping over them. like that ain't happening.
You don't want to die.
Yeah. I think I could do it.
I see you.
I wouldn't even have to catch a pass. I'm not even claiming I can catch a 1 yard pass. I'm saying that if they hand me the ball and 10 people just thrust forward as hard as they can, they could do it.
I have this visualization of you getting up from the pile, okay? And your head, the helmet, is just sideways.
Yeah, I would die, but the touchdown would count.
Just the, your ears were the fucking mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I'd be slamming my face into a brick wall, but I trust that the brick wall could go 9 inches before I reached it.
I don't know. Can we contact the Packers and see if they'll do a Make-A-Wish for Nathan? It's like, he's not sick or anything.
This 10-year-old boy has that disease that makes him look 40. Yeah. I got Jack syndrome, and I just want to punch it up the gut. Somebody call the Packers. Tell them I got Jack syndrome.
Show up in the practice field with the uniform that's like 10 sizes bigger than you. <It'd> be, <"Rah!"
laughs> I don't think that's how Jack syndrome works.
That's how it would work for you.
Okay. I'm a 10-year-old who looks 40, so you need to give me the outfit that David Byrne wears in a Talking Heads concert.
Yes. He died recently, too. No. Rick, okay. I got my weird 80s pop bands mixed.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
I assume, was there a question asking about the Packers winning, or were you just non-sequitoring it?
No, somebody was just saying hopes the Packers win today. It's just a statement by Andrew Grove that just says Gwent.
Yeah, the new expansion coming out. Good times. And it's coming out to iPhone finally, so hopefully Android isn't too far behind. Gwenty, Gwent. Game's still good.
Holy cow, I should have read this question before the podcast, which was, everyone loves the top 10 list. These are the top 10 casters at W2C in order of win rate with at least 10 wins. Okay, so Zal 2. You didn't mention how many wins.
At the bottom of the list, there's more text. Is that text explaining what I'm supposed to be thinking about while you read this list?
Which casters would you drop out and which would you put in to make a top 10 casters in the game? So Zal 2,
okay.
Vlad 2, Gareth 2, Harbinger, Scar 1, The Child, Dreamer, Iona, Makeda 3, Balder 1.
So we're saying of those 10, which aren't in the top 10 in the game and which that are in the top 10 in the game aren't listed.
I mean,
So the basic question is, how close is this to being an actual top 10 in the game? What massaging needs to be done?
Again, I've talked about it a ton of times. It's hard to determine who are the top out of a team tournament because Kruger 2 could have been thrown to all the wolves.
Well, and that's this person's point.
Yeah.
That's their point. Like, if we made a list of the top 10 casters in the game, how would it compare to this list?
God, that could be the whole podcast.
Yeah, that's going to be tough to do on the fly. Obviously, there's a bunch of Minions casters that didn't get included that in a vacuum, like Arcadius and Rask are both extremely powerful casters, but they're never going to have the stats to show it.
I mean, honestly, I think Rask in Minions is that good.
Sure. But even still, like, Minions are never going to have the stats that show how good Minions can be, right? It's just not a thing that happens.
I mean, honestly,
in a team tournament.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Rask being on that, not being on there, was the first thing I noticed there.
Like Shay is another good one too. That's he's good in everywhere else, but his own forces don't lend him the credence.
Kind of speaking of Shay, I don't know if it was a CID thing or a thing that stuck around or both, but there was some talk about Befuddle in Mercenaries. Was that a CID thing?
I think that might have been on Fiona.
Fiona 1,
when they were redoing
CID. Okay.
Yeah. When they were doing the Talion Charter one.
Because I didn't know the details. I just know that people were shitting their pants over Befuddle because of the verification that Befuddle, unlike every other control spell in the game, you don't control the model even though you are making the advance for it. It's still enemy. And rovers have counter charge.
So you befuddle something forward and countercharge it with four rovers.
That's pretty sexy. Or you could take a free strike on it from somebody.
Free strike too, yeah. But just the point is, like, you befuddle something forward, you countercharge it. That's huge threat extension on your rovers that now get to activate. And just killed something with their four countercharges.
Yeah.
So you murder a heavy, and then those rovers just got 8 inches further up the field that they can now use to murder more stuff.
So, like, red rover, let rovers come over.
Yes. Toros, not rovers. My apologies. Yes. So I don't know if that survived CID. I just know that people were shitting their pants when it was a thing.
I don't think it did. I'd have to look on Fiona.
But if it survives, the Fiona 1 Befuddle plus Toros seems pretty goddamned good.
Yeah. Thinking about that list specifically, I don't get Vlad. I'm not sure that Vlad 2 belongs there.
He was back in Mark 1 and Mark 2.
Yeah.
But Mark 1, he was God. Mark 2, he was a demigod. Now he's just but a man.
A man with godly shoulders.
Yeah, he's a great caster in Mark 3, but I'm not sure he belongs up there in the top 10. Zal 2 was surprising to me to be at the very top of that, because Zal 2, maybe it's just an artifact of the lists I play are very good in to Zal 2. I don't think he's that good.
You have practice, because we have somebody who always plays Zal in our groups too.
Yeah.
So.
Iona, I don't know, is top 10. I think Baldur 1's better than, is a better Iona right now.
Yeah, after Iona got massaged a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, Kruger 2 is still freaking amazing.
I mean, if we talk...
Nice control caster.
If we drop those three casters off of there, because I don't know that I have any other issue. The remaining seven were Makeda 3, Baldur 1, Harbinger...
Scar 1.
Gareth 2.
Who are the other two?
Dreamer and Child.
So then you're adding Rask.
I'd add Rask.
So you got two more to throw on there.
Sylvestro. And I would accept Kruger 2 with the last spot there.
Overall is just a really good caster. I mean...
Zappity.
Crumble. Favorite things to do in the Untitled Goose Game?
Oh, man. I like staring at people. Like, when people are suspicious of me, like, I like to just stare back at them and then honk and then just run away. Like, if they catch me doing a dick thing, I just like... Because doing asshole stuff and not getting caught is fine, but when they catch me, I just be like... Fuck you, I'm a goose.
Similar there. I just like the aesthetics, because the goose acts like a goddamn goose. I mean, the way you move, the way you walk, the way you put your head down to and then start running really fast, and that's just
like
how...
flapping does nothing. I still do it all the time. Especially when I'm staring at someone, I give them a little flap flap.
I usually whenever I steal something, I start flapping my wings too, because he's running around with the toy in his mouth.
The speed run's down below 5 minutes. Somebody figured out pub skip.
Yeah,
that's right. People are speed running Goose Game.
Yeah, I think I'm going to complete it to the point, because I only have like a few more tasks to do.
I'm
not going to do the speed.
I've done everything but the speed ones.
Like, setting up a pit. I mean, you can do it, but you have to have everything set up first, I think, isn't it? I guess I have to watch a speed run in it to see how they do it to beat the game in that mode.
Well, the speed run of it is any percent, and so all it is getting that final objective done.
Okay.
They don't do everything else. They just they use clipping and bouncing, like, because when people are trying to, like, eject you, like, sometimes they can push you, like, through a fence or something so that you can get out of bounds or in the wrong spot. So the one I saw, they pissed off the farmer. The farmer chased him to a certain spot to, like, get his hat back, and while he's, like, pushing the goose, they go through a fence, and then they're in the model village, and then they can, you know, clip back out to then finish just that one objective, the last objective of the game that causes the credits to roll. So it's not a speed run to do all objectives. That would take hours.
No, I'm talking about the time to do's.
Yeah, I don't know how long. I would have to see if there's like a 100% speed run that show how fast you can do those in.
Because just getting everything for the fucking picnic in the first one, that's forever.
Huh?
Unless you're allowed to have a big setup beforehand, yeah. And then they're like, start like the second that.
No, it would be from start because it's timed. I mean, it doesn't take that long to grab like four things.
It's like five, six things for that.
Sure.
But and like three of them are things that you have to avoid the gardener because if he finds out where that picnic is, he'll wander and go grab all the shit back.
Right. So it just depends how long the timer is. Like if you have 5 minutes and the picnic takes three,
yeah,
you know, you still, it's still, obviously it's doable.
Yeah. It's not that hard to get all the other things like steal his hat and,
yeah.
And get him wet and stuff like that. That's pretty quick. But yeah, I guess my favorite full part of the game is effing with a boy.
That poor kid.
Getting him to trip into a puddle, it was a lot of fun. Getting him
making him buy his own toy back. He's only got so much allowance money, man. You steal his toy, you chase him into a phone booth, then he has to buy his toy back. You steal his glasses, he falls in a puddle. That poor kid.
And then get him locked in a garage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even supposed to do that. That's just a bonus. No, Andy's a dick thing.
No, that's a future two thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Getting him in the garage is a future one.
Yeah,
it's not in the first playthrough. Whatever. All of those are made all the sweeter when after you're caught, you just stare at someone for 10 seconds and then honk, flap your wings, and run away. You need to taunt them.
I do like getting into the pub by the box and then immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, honking when you're in the box so they drop you and then just run away under the porch.
Yeah, because again, flaunt it.
Yeah, they honk under the porch so they all gather to the spot that where the honking's from and you just pop out some other area. I will consistently steal that guy's stool as well as much as I can and steal the harmonica. Like if I can run around with the harmonica all day, we're talking about too much. Zappity!
Wow!
Mm-hmm. I said Zavity.
Grumble.
Okay. You just said, ah.
Yeah, that's grumble in French.
No. Close enough.
Do you know what grumble is in French?
I could look it up.
If it's wah.
Andrew asks, what is your go-to comfort food? Like, is this like when I'm feeling depressed, I want to eat this, or is it just like I'm always depressed too.
Mm-hmm. Cold windy day style. I do love a brothy soup, like a ramen or something.
I don't.
I know you do ramen wrong. Yeah, I'm going soup.
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 I'm going to say pizza.
It has pizza? To be,
ideally,
you're just gonna repeat people's foods.
No, I was exclaiming. It was joy. I was like, oh, pizza. No. But I'm not saying that that's my comfort food.
No, I mean that would really have to be it. That it's like if that's the comfort food meal is you get a decent pizza of
our old fashions of food.
Well, I mean, drinking is a comfort thing.
Does an old fashioned count as food? If I eat the cherry in an old fashioned after I drink it, does that make it count?
You could eat the cherry during the old fashioned. You just keep on getting more cherries.
An old fashioned is basically soup.
Okay.
So it counts. So there we go. It sticks in my soup thing.
Okay.
Nope. Too late. You said pizza.
Yeah. You can't mix alcohol with pizza.
I was going to say, then I'll say wheat beer and just say that's bread, and that'll do.
Yeah. I heard a horrible thing that that Bailey's is going to be affected by tariffs.
Hooray. What's your comfort food, Andy?
My comfort food? I like popsicles.
Your banana-flavored popsicles?
Hey, I got some other banana-flavored popsicles that actually taste different than the normal banana flavor that I think they taste more like actual bananas.
I was going to say, because it's like banana-flavored popsicles taste nothing like bananas, but they have that distinct banana-flavoring flavor.
Artificial banana-flavored things taste nothing like bananas.
Yeah.
Like, these are completely different flavors.
Yeah, like great.
They taste like bananas from back then.
The Cavendish ones or whatever.
But yeah, it's like
don't exist anymore.
Like grape soda tastes nothing like grapes, but it's good.
Like Welch's grape stuff. You can get special popsicles that taste like the Welch's popsicles, like Welch's grape juice. I like popsicles.
It's happening. Hey! Grumble. I said Zappity.
Grumble.
Grumble! Doesn't work if you... Fuck you!
XCOM
2... Hypocrite!
Yeah, I am.
XCOM 2?
XCOM 2.
XCOM
2. Chosen, welcome challenge, or unnecessarily hindering? I haven't played XCOM 2 at all, so...
I haven't played 2. I've played 1 of the new series, I think.
Yeah. Or
2.
Yeah, 2 is just... I don't know. It seems fine. Mm-hmm. I think it added the special agendas on maps that I don't like, where you have to go and complete it in X amount of turns.
Right.
I basically, if I'm running my squad, I'm going to make my squad sit there for 12 hours waiting for that one alien to come out of the hive.
Oh, no, then Two exactly Chosen was the one I played. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, no, then that was the one I played earlier. I played earlier this year because it's like most of the missions had time limits.
Correct. Yeah. Like, to address those things. And that's the thing is, like, there's nothing. And this is a tradition going back to the original XCOM and the original XCOM 2, is that XCOM 2, in both cases, fucks you over real hard to make it so that if you were slow or like it's just a harder version of the first one, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So there's nothing wrong. It's not like a strictly better version. It's just like a harder version. Like the original XCOM 2, the way they did it is by having underwater missions that required different weaponry and gear than above water missions, and so you had to juggle your gear. And then also they made it so that the chrysalid analogs could fly, which. Fuck you, because the flying suit protecting me from chrysalids was the only thing that was tolerable about those assholes, and then you make the ones in the sequel fly. But the new ones are the same way. And so I know, like, a lot of the stuff in the second one is way just about making it harder, like having those, like, super leaders, like the elite troopers and stuff like that you have to hunt down. So I guess the answer is yes. Like, it's not an either-or question. It's like, is it worth it / is it just a bullshit waste of time? Yes. It's a significantly harder waste of time that makes it just this grueling, terrible ordeal that's not fun to play because some people, ironically, find that fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some people like survival mode Fallout.
Yeah.
I think I'm one of the people that really like survival mode Fallout. But I really enjoyed trying to make it through my team through the missions and not have them be... not have to worry about a time limit.
In which case, it's not for you, right? But some people want that pressure.
Yep.
Well, it's just like even just the first one. Nobody said you had to play Iron Man, right?
Correct.
But the option was there for people who wanted that extra difficulty. It's kind of the reverse of the argument of Dark Souls not having an easy mode. Like, it should, because some people, that's what they want out of it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if a game is fun while it's difficult, I will play it. But if I'm not having fun, then I'm not going to play the fucking game. Because the games should be fun. To me, that is. I don't care if it's fun to other people.
I got so mad. No, it is fine. I got so mad at Into the Breach the other day because I read the descriptions of something. It was critically important that it was true. And then it was not true, and it fucked me, and my main pilot died. And then retroactively, I understand why it wasn't true, but it infuriated me. Because I had someone who was on one hit point, on fire, and then there was somebody about to attack him. So he kills the guy about to attack him, but he's still on one hit point in fire. So at the end of the turn, he's going to die of the fire. So my other guy puts a shield on him, and shield says protects from fire damage. And then my guy just dies. I'm like, what the fuck? The description of shield. I read it 4 times to make sure the description. It protects you from getting, if you walk into a fire, a wall on the shield, it won't damage you. But once you are on fire, the shield around you won't save your life. Which I'm like, okay, I understand retroactively why I died, but your fucking tooltip lied to me, even though it was telling the truth. Like, that is one of those, like, a genie granting a wish exactly how it's worded kind of bullshit things.
We should do. Speaking of game difficulty, we should do like an old school roguelike Pain Train and just have everybody playing NetHack until people are screaming.
The Pain Train of roguelikes is trying to play Darkest Dungeon on the Switch. I'm so happy to be able to play Darkest Dungeon on the Switch, but holy moly.
Yeah, I tried it. I don't have it on the Switch. I have it on the PlayStation 4, and I lasted about 45 minutes before I'm like, fuck this, I'm going downstairs.
The good thing about the Switch is that in portable mode, it's just a touchscreen PC game. And so then my finger is a mouse, and it works fine. But when you try to play it on a PS4 or on your TV with the Switch,
controller, it is terrible.
Like, to access somebody's inventory, you have to hold this button, press that button, and then after that, release the first one and press a third one. It's like, Jesus, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, and on the other hand, like, my heart bleeds for the person who had to design the interface for a PC game onto a handheld console with six buttons.
Sure.
But it sure ain't user-friendly.
It could be like, have you ever tried playing Warcraft 2 on the PlayStation?
Sure, yeah. I played the original XCOM on the PlayStation, so yeah. I completely...
But that's turn-based. Yeah, that's not like, all that fucking grunt is running over there, fuck...
Wait, it wasn't Warcraft 2, but there was some real-time strategy Warhammer game.
There was a Skaven one.
The Horned Rat.
Yeah.
Well, this was back on like the PS1.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Shadow of the Horned Rat. Yeah.
You were humans, because I remember you got some berserkers that would self-flagellate, and they were helping me out and stuff. And like when units died, like they were just gone forever, and it's like a campaign, and it's like Jesus Christ, this is unwinnable.
Yeah. Well, that, and you're also again trying to select units and that with a controller. There's no pause and
Yeah.
I think I actually have Fallout 2 upstairs in my PS4 collection.
Good
or
game.
PS collection.
Sure. Outer Worlds comes out soon.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Did you see?
I have to decide between Switch and PS4.
Did you see that Randy Pitchford got exonerated?
Randy Pitchford?
Yeah, Randy Pitchford got exonerated for his... I don't know why I'm jumping to Randy Pitchford. I think he's Gearbox.
Sure. That doesn't change the fact that that's probably why you jumped to him.
No, I jumped to him because I was thinking Borderlands being the top selling game.
How is he exonerated, Andy?
He's a judge basically took the lawsuit that was his former lawyer and him and that and basically said, you guys are idiots.
Which lawsuit? The one where he beat up an employee? The one where he left underage porn at a medieval times?
That was included with... he's also admitted that he left a USB drive and Hollow Gearbox basically repaid the person finding it. It's like some random 17-year-old employee of medieval times. They gave him games and some other things. Something. But no.
If they were a publicly traded company, he would have been fired.
Oh, yes.
A decade ago.
Easily.
Easily. The only reason he still has a job is that they're not publicly traded.
Yeah.
And the only reason they're not publicly traded is that he knows if they ever were, he would be out of a job.
Yeah. But no, the lawsuit that was happening between him and his former lawyer, where his former lawyer was basically saying that Randy was funneling money over to himself for things.
Oh, yeah. I remember all that money disappearing.
Yeah. That was thrown out.
Oh,
so he's been exonerated in that. It's not to say he didn't beat up an employee and also just be a complete douche. But unfortunately, I was also reminded of that, too, of Randy Pitchford because I watch Fooled Us with Penn & Teller.
Sure.
And they've been training people at Gearbox and working with Gearbox about making a Penn & Teller virtual reality game.
And they were in Borderlands 3.
Oh, they are in Borderlands 3? Okay, that's...
Yeah, I think we talked about it on the podcast a couple
of
weeks.
No, we talked about it on Wednesday. Oh, on Wednesday,
yeah.
Pain and Terror. Pain and Terror.
Yeah, and actually, my favorite part of that is that in the credits, Teller is credited as the voice actor for Terror,
sure.
And Terror has no lines.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Grumble.
Zappity.
Grumble. Grumble. Zappity. Grumble.
Pizza.
Pizza.
Boba Fett.
For Nathan, when is the next Mompoc podcast coming out?
That's an excellent question that I have been asking my castmates about. We didn't necessarily plan ahead the best because we started recording a podcast right before Keith had to be at practice for a musical basically every night for 2 months. That musical is sometime later this month, I think maybe next weekend. So once that's over, Keith will be more available for recording. But
I can record.
Well, Keith's, I mean, I guess. Well, yeah.
Maybe nobody wants to hear what I want to say about Monpok.
What?
No, nobody.
Well, the issue is because we have the noob, in as much as Nigel, who's like new to the game and has barely gotten to play it at all. We have the tryhard, which is Keith, and we have the competent but not tryhard, which is me. Mm-hmm. If I'm the most tryhard of the people on the podcast, you know, that's sad.
Fair.
But yeah, I mean, not to throw Keith under the bus. I mean, it's not just him, but in general, we've just had difficulty getting together to record. So, but at the very least, the Keith part of that will be cleared up sometime later this month.
So kind of a follow-up from the previous caster top 10 list. Follow-up question. Here are the casters with the high win percentage, but small sample size, which would be Zedesh 2, Vlad 3, Striker 1, Animog, Gaspy 3, or Asphyxius 3, Absalonia 2, and the High Reclaimer.
Yup, those are casters.
And which of those will see a surge of popularity at a high-level competition?
I mean, High Reclaimer is still great. I think that post Oblivion, everybody in Protectorate is still interested in Harbinger because she's still the best caster in Protectorate. Mm-hmm. But I mean, High Reclaimer, I think honestly got better because his build. I mean, there are a few things he can't do anymore, but his builds got freed up a lot. So I mean, I don't know that you'll see a surge because this isn't really any new information. The rest of those just, I mean, there is a running theme there and, between all of those casters and that, as it turns out, when there aren't a lot of, huge battle group, spam lists in the meta, a lot of people can't deal with that on a regular basis. So you're going to have things like, Abby 2 or, Gaspy 3 are just going to win some games because people aren't ready for them.
Yeah. I was going to say, isn't Gaspy 3 still potentially viable with a Slayer spam?
I think it was one of those builds that got worse in Oblivion because he can no longer take free arc nodes in theme.
Okay.
So you get a slightly different build, and I think you may build it with eight instead of nine Slayers, and get ambushing Mechanithralls with the Brute Thrall, because you get three Brute Thralls as one of your free options. And you're sacrificing something from the original build, but you're getting stuff for it. And it's not as pure as it was pre-Oblivion. And as I said, I'm not sure it's as good. I don't think it's as good as it was. Hmm. And the meta for a while, the meta was adjusted to it. But in an event like this, he's going to have a high win percentage because just a lot of people aren't ready to deal with that many jacks that are that fast.
And that could be the that could be the bus.
Yeah,
in the matchings, like as you're going up, they're like, I can't deal with it. Well, I can't deal with it. Well, I guess you're going to get our freebie.
Yeah. And I mean, that also may be the case that this is just something that you pair a Gaspy 3 with like Scar 1 that was on, I think justifiably so, the top 10 list. And you might just happen to have somebody might have been thrown under the bus to Scar 1. They said, you know, I'm actually happier with Gaspy 3 in this build. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of explanations for it, but yeah, I mean, ultimately, a lot of those lists are going to run similarly, just spamming battle group at you. And if that is not popular in the meta, the meta will have trouble dealing with it.
I'd like to see what casters they were paired against.
Yeah.
To see, you know, like how they were. But I mean, that's a lot of detail that I don't want to do. Somebody else can do. But Japanese. It would be neat to see. Japanese mm-hmm. Grumble. Do you have a go-to paint scheme for things, or do you try and do the studio scheme? That is, if you even paint things. When I paint, I generally had my own scheme for my Kador. Mm-hmm. When I actually painted my Kador. Otherwise, I generally try not to be the studio scheme if I can.
I do straight studio scheme with no modifications or additional parts, famously.
That's why
I have solid gold pirate added convergence.
I tend to do blue for my convergent for my protectorate and my CG. I stretched out a little bit and did purple and green respectively.
Yeah, I don't think any of us went studio scheme with like any of our stuff.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, like even the Retribution. I didn't paint the Retribution that I have, but that's basically the scheme I was going to end up going with as well. It's like a black and a fiery orange in there.
I mean, I did Studio Scheme Protectorate for a while, but then I switched it to purple and gold.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's
whatever makes you happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you're the one who has to look at your fucking models. Yeah. So you're looking at them a lot more than your opponent is.
And
so.
Honestly, if it gets down to it, one of the main reasons that I tend to stick to blues better is that I'm better at pairing colors with them and just better at painting blue.
Sure. Like, I like fiery orange.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the things that may not be obvious to somebody starting painting is that there are different skills for painting different colors. And blue is the only one that I'm particularly competent at painting. So I do a lot of blue.
Yeah. I mean, there's also, if you're just starting painting as well, most manufacturers have charts that show like which colors would work as a highlight to certain colors. And basically learning how to just paint those two colors together or to blend those colors together can do a lot of neat things. So,
Zappity. Oh. Gromba. Gromba juice.
It's so, you know.
Gromble!
Is this one of those times that we have to explain what Zappity Grumble is?
No, we never have to explain anything.
Okay, good.
YOLO!
Which year do you think the Jaguars move to London? I don't think we're going to get a team, an actual NFL team into London. I think it would be whoever has to play the home games there and the Jaguars have to travel, it's going to be horrendous.
Well, I mean, I think at some point what is it? They have two games a year in London right now. They're looking to expand that to four games in a couple of years, and that's halfway there.
Right.
I mean, I think it's going to be a while before there's a team in London. But the NFL is creeping up on that, because if they go to four games in London, that is literally halfway there.
Yeah, it's pretty well. Now, no, there's eight games.
Right, and four is half.
Four is half eight. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean we're creeping up there, and I think there will be one eventually. I mean when I thought about this in the past, I think what they really want to do is set up a division, a European division, so that the two games a year each team in a division play with each other, that they don't have to worry about crossing the Atlantic for.
Did I? Wasn't there? I could have sworn
four
that there
is
was
half of eight, Andy. You could have sworn what?
Wasn't there a European football league for a little bit?
Yeah,
or
there
is
was.
It still going?
No, it stopped. And there were, I mean, Kurt Warner was a quarterback there, and there were a number of people that it was basically a developmental league for a while.
No, that was an arena league. Arena league was. Where
no,
Kurt
there
Warner
was a
came from.
No, he. I think he played in the Arena League for a while, but he also played in NFL Europa.
Wow,
it was kind of used as a developmental league, but honestly, I mean, I think the issue NFL is going to have is that I don't think they can support a developmental league. And I mean, that was basically the limit to it. Is that for one thing, there were a lot of places they put teams that just culturally didn't understand American football.
Frustrating thing is that, like, I feel like Europe can't get over the fact that it's also called football, and so they innately feel the need to reject it so that they can say that their football's better.
It's hand egg.
I'm sorry, sir. It's called hand egg.
Yeah.
It's like, I understand. You know who named it soccer, by the way? You did. Like, Europe called it was called soccer by them. America didn't invent that.
Yeah, America did not invent that. That is an English, as in England, modification of the word association.
Doesn't rugby use an oval ball as well?
Yep.
Yeah.
They don't call rugby hand egg.
Nope.
American.
Again, it's because the word football, they feel the need to be angry about it.
Our football is superior. It's called soccer.
Okay, so two things. Number one, there can be two sports called football. Number two, yours sucks.
I mean, basically. I mean, rugby.
Soccer is the worst field sport.
We talked about this on the podcast or maybe sometime. It's at least it's safer than actual football if you're thinking about health-wise for kids or something like that.
And cheaper. You need a sphere and four markers, and you're done. So that's why soccer is so popular.
Six markers. Maybe for kids.
Two goals. No, you just need two goals. Everything else is gravy.
Yeah. Eight markers.
You don't need the pitch.
Each corner of the field, the half-point field, so that's six markers, and then two more markers to mark where the goals are.
You don't need those first things you listed at all. You need the outside 2 points of two different goals. Everything else is optional.
So like the whole back edge of the deployment zone is a goal?
Deployment zone? Yeah. I mean, whatever. Because there is no industry standard size for a pitch.
Sure.
So it's just whatever. Like, you know, once you're out in the street, maybe bring it back.
Sure. Okay.
But I mean,
FIFA is monstrous, yeah. And the propaganda film that they made about their own history is hilarious. Yeah.
Game is also monstrous as well.
It may be safer. It may be safer at the school level, but soccer internationally has a similar, and in some cases, a higher rate of CTE than American football.
Really?
Because hitting the ball fucking kills you.
Well, just don't headbutt the ball. Well,
that's part of the sport.
That's part of the sport.
I mean, until
then wear a helmet.
Until
like the old leather helmets, like,
yeah.
Until FIFA bans hitting the ball, it will not be any safer than American football.
Okay. I will not respect soccer until they use instant replays to check on people who are hurt. Air quotes.
If
they flopped, it's a red card.
Yeah.
Instant red card for flopping.
Yep.
When they institute an instant red card for flopping, I will respect your sport again. Until then, it can fuck itself.
And I think it would also be nice if they actually instituted real timing rules. Because basically the way the time works
is the mystery overtime.
Yeah, they don't stop the clock for anything.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the period, the ref decides how many extra minutes they're going to play based on some guess of how much time they've stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's functionally identical to just stopping the clock. Like, there's no reason not to do that.
No, I mean, there's a difference because it's just what the ref decides.
Correct.
If you're accurate, it's
functionally identical to stopping the clock.
Yeah.
I mean, you could technically have somebody up in the booth that will relay down to the ref how much time they actually stopped because they actually checked how much time it's supposed to be.
As I understand it, that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, like
but
the ref's supposed
to
have like a clock where they're like, all right, that was 30 seconds of stoppage. I'll add 30 seconds. In which case, that could have just been the game clock stopping and starting.
Yeah. I think they're supposed to do that, but as far as I understand, there's no hard requirement that it be done that way.
Yeah.
But no, my understanding is that American football is popular only in Northern Europe, and like an article on the failure of it, on the failure of NFL Europa, they said one of the examples was they had a team in Barcelona, and they couldn't get people to come to the game, so they basically were giving away the tickets almost for free, and one of the coaches there was like, yeah, it's like we played good football, and we had a good team with good players, and the people in the stands didn't care when we made a touchdown, but they cheered when we kicked the extra point.
Sure.
So, I mean, there are just parts of Europe that don't really care about the sport, and it's even going to be even less interesting if you don't have the top-tier players.
Similar to the unfortunate fact that kabaddi is not popular in America.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean,
you got
the
XFL coming, though.
Fuck the XFL. Give me a kabaddi league.
I mean, put that earworm into Vince McMahon's head. Marry his daughter and then take over one of his products. And then
he could corner the market on American kabaddi.
No, I think they could support four NFL teams and run a division in Europe.
Yeah.
They just need to have the investment to do it because it would cost several billion dollars to make that work, but I think they could turn a profit on it.
Oh, excuse you. It's a non-profit organization. It's a non-profit organization, David. There's nothing corrupt or overtly bullshitty about this at all.
NFL was a nonprofit organization.
I mean, basically talking about somebody in chat had just mentioned too, is basically all football is corrupt.
No.
I mean, talking both European soccer.
Oh, the NFL has nothing on FIFA.
No, that's very true as well too. They don't, but it's
at least FIFA doesn't claim to be a non-profit organization. They're corrupt as the mafia, and that's undeniable that FIFA's monstrous. But God damn it, NFL, non-profit, go fuck yourself.
Well,
and fuck you, the government, for agreeing with them.
Well,
each individual team makes a profit. Fuck you. God, fuck you. Bullshit. And everybody knows it's bullshit. Nobody agrees it, but for some reason we all just let it slide.
Yeah, the nonprofit for your big game of the year has people paying millions of dollars for a 30-second clip of their product on your show.
Nonprofit.
Nonprofit.
I don't think anybody actually thinks the NFL is a nonprofit because it's just that it's a mechanism for revenue sharing amongst 31 for-profit corporations.
Well, that's profit then. The fact that it's being split up doesn't change the fact that it's profit. Unless that money is going to crippled children, you're a fucking for-profit organization.
I could say that we're
nonprofit, but that's just because nobody signed up for our Patreon.
And whatever's actually
failing and being nonprofit.
Whatever's on our Patreon currently just pays for our web hosting fees.
Yeah.
The fact that you can actually download this podcast is for the Patreon. Damn. Otherwise. Balls. Damn meatballs?
Yeah, we'll go with that. Zappity.
Grumble.
What do you think of the cross-faction themes?
I think they're neat. I think, for the most part, they're not terribly good, though.
Are they? Are just the Oblivion?
The Oblivion cross. I mean, let me walk that back a bit. We don't know enough yet about the Fire in the Darkness ones because those models haven't hit their street dates yet. And it's like most things that are not obviously apparently broken at the face of it. We won't know for a while if there are any good builds with that.
I did like that song at the end of Guitar Hero, though.
Okay.
Fire in the darkness, right? Through the fire, and it's fire in the flame. Remember at the end of Guitar Hero, Andy?
It's not at the end of Guitar Hero, is it?
Yeah. It was the closing credits of one of the games.
Okay,
I think it's Guitar Hero 2 or something. The closing credit song was "Through the Fire and the Flames" by Dragon Force.
Okay. I mean,
if you count,
Dave's trying to talk here.
Yeah, if you count Hearts of Darkness from Infernals, I think Hearts of Darkness is perfectly fine. I think it's a neat way of adding new themes to the game, but
and a good book,
yeah,
and a horrible plot point for a video game. The Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, yeah. Is it a plot point when it's like literally the entire central conceit?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You put it all together. We don't know enough to have a good idea of it. I think the Warriors of the Old Faith, most of those builds are not particularly interesting because they work better supported in their own faction.
I know it took me forever to figure out how to put a mercenary model into my theme force today because I forgot you had to select friendly model instead of just having the goddamn mercenary models selectable.
Yeah, War Room is terrible.
Why not just have the mercenary model selectable?
There's a list editor you can use that works better.
Yeah,
not in my car when my phone won't turn on.
Chamber
my
conflict?
Phone was broken.
Is that, what is it?
My phone was broken and wouldn't
conflict
turn on.
Conflict room?
So I had to use something with no internet.
Is it conflict room?
Yes, it's chamber room.
Chamber pot?
Yeah.
War chamber.
Sorry. I want to go get chamberpot.com and link it to Dave's site.
It would surprise me if chamberpot.com was available.
Well, now it's not.
Chamberpot.com.
There's a whole bunch of deluxe chamber pots. Is that other than hospitals?
That's what you get when somebody doesn't have a website, right?
No, it's somebody owns it. It's
somebody
on
squatting
it.
On it. Somebody's squatting on the chamber pot?
Yes.
That's the best use of that.
Let's try it with a hyphen. Also try chamber.pot.
I mean, you could do Chamber Dash Pot.
Chamber Dash Pop has this.
Yeah, so yeah, we could conflict Chamber Pot. Sorry, Dave, I'm not trying to say this. I'm not.
Your website, shit.
I'm not. No.
No, I don't think he was saying it's shit. He thinks he was saying it contains shit. There's a subtle difference.
Fair. That is true. If Catholic Chamber has lists hosted on it, it contains a lot of shit.
Can you add a flush button? Of course, you can't. No, just a dump then. It would have to be a dump button, not a flush, because you can't flush a chamber pot. You just have to turn it over. Sorry. If I didn't have Twitters to go after here. There was Zappity Grumble in there. What is the best shortcut you have learned? Shortcut could be either the traveling kind or the life hack kind. My life hack / traveling shortcut is the best. It's called a time machine, and it's useful for every time that you're in a vehicle in a long trip and you're not driving. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you cannot time machine if you are driving. Because then it's an adventure in one way or another. I enjoy taking naps. I can nap anywhere.
Yeah.
And napping in a car. I mean, I remember when I was in the Army and I was in the back of a Humvee and we're going off-roading in said Humvee. And I've got my Kevlar on. I've got my M16 next to me. And I'm like just flopping around in the back of the... The Humvee.
Somebody wake up Hicks.
Yeah, that is me. I'm going to the dropship to LV-426, and somebody wake up Welton.
The other T-shirt I bought with this one was a Colonial Marines logo.
Oh,
and it had like every meal a feast, every formation a parade. I forget what the third one was, but it has Apone's thing around it. I almost wore that. I'll wear that next Sunday.
Nice.
It would have been topical.
So I had I figured out a shortcut, and by that I hacked the Madison City traffic system. What? Because there's a place where I frequently would turn left, and I would complain because it would take forever for me to get a left green arrow. And then I realized after thinking about it for a while that it always happened when there were two people in the line. And it occurred to me then that the sensor was one car length back from the line. And so I found out that if I pulled up and stopped a car length short of the line, I would always get the green arrow. So I packed the city of Madison to save some time on my commute.
So similar to that, when you're driving in Illinois, when you get to the toll lanes...
It's cheaper if you just abandon your car on the side of the road.
No. So you can either like get in line on the right, and then mm-hmm. you pull up, and somebody will like take some cash from you, and then they'll open the gate, and then you drive through. And usually there's like three or four cars in a row.
Yeah.
There's these lanes on the left-hand side. You don't even have to slow down. You can just keep driving straight through.
God, I want to see how much you owe.
You can drive straight through... It's free, and there's no wait. It's amazing.
I really want to see. Can you?
It's free.
Yeah.
And there's no wait.
I just want to see what happens if you're offered a job in Illinois.
When, why would I ever?
When Gordon Tremesco gets these bills, you have to share them with us because I'm very curious.
I could see that with the Nathan taking a job in Illinois. And it's like okay, and it's like this is my relocation package, and it's like this is what I need the relocation package for. And it's like, well, you could move for less. It's like, no, those are my my unpaid tolls plus interest plus fees.
Oh, those fees are stupid.
Yep.
Did I tell you what I got? So, on the way back from Origins, I drove through Chicago, and I had $13 worth of tolls,
mm-hmm.
and I got a bill from fucking state of Illinois for $153.
Yep.
Yeah,
and then they said that it would go up because each fee was $20. It would go up by $30, so it'd be $363 if I would have not.
It's zero. It's $0.
God, I want to see it so bad.
$0, Andy.
I want you to try to log into the Illinois Tollway, search for your license plate, and then like suddenly your phone will just start blaring out noises, and then our house is surrounded by cops.
When they have two governors in a row that don't go to prison,
sure,
I will start considering that they deserve my toll money.
I mean, so this is the fantastic thing is that if the offense is not criminal, because failure to pay a toll is a citation, not a criminal offense, mm-hmm. A state can do absolutely zero to you across state lines.
Yep.
Yeah, but I'm just waiting for that one time. You got cruise control in your car, right?
One of them.
Yeah, you should always go like the 5 miles over or right at the speed limit whenever you go through Illinois.
I do not speed in Illinois.
Yeah, because the day you get pulled over, God, I want to.
Last Adepticon, yeah. I was driving and I needed to turn left on a road, and the map thing on my phone, like the arrow. I thought it had me turning one step sooner than I was turning.
Oh, sure.
And because it was like, whatever. And so I go to turn left in this one, but it turns out that there isn't a left turn lane there. It had one of those like center things that can, sometimes there are left turns both directions, but where I was, it wasn't a left turn at all. And so I pull into it. I notice that it's wrong. And so I continue forward like another 100 feet to where the road actually is, where there is a left turn lane. Mm-hmm. So a cop pulls me over for getting into there too soon, because where I got into it, it wasn't a legal lane. Yeah. So he pulls me over and he's like, yeah, every county around here has a warrant for you. This one doesn't. Bye. No ticket, no nothing.
Wow.
I was like, that's good to know.
you met a cop who just said, I'm not going to fuck with you. I'm not going to deal with this paperwork.
Correct.
Really, that's... Yeah. Yeah,
it was like when I was pulled over by an Illinois cop, and he said, "Oh, I'm going to give you a warning instead of a ticket." And I'm like, "Okay, that's fine." And I was thinking to myself, not saying out loud, and it's like, "That's fine," because I wouldn't pay it anyway,
right?
And then he's like, "Okay, and you this is just a warning. You won't have to go to court." I'm like, "Okay, that's fine," because I wouldn't have gone anyway.
I got a ticket in Wyoming for going 4 miles an hour over the speed limit on the way to my grandfather's funeral, and
wow,
yeah. Well, because he knows that I'm not going to contest it, right? So. In theory, I'm just going to mail them the money so it's free money.
Yeah.
As opposed to me literally just tearing it up and throwing it out the window and then driving it away.
Yeah,
it's like, have a fun party.
Yeah.
No, that's probably, that would have like been
you
worse.
Motherfucker.
driving between my parents' home in Tennessee and Kentucky when I still lived there, I was with my wife, and this was when I was gainfully employed and had a nice car, because that seems to be a running theme. So we were driving along about 15 over, and there's a cop in the other lane that sees us, turns on his flashers and pulls around and starts doing a U-turn to come get us. And Cassie's like, okay, well, so what should we do? And it's like, either before he sees us, we pull off on an exit and take a left, because 90% of the time, if they're following you, they'll take a right off the exit if you leave. Alternatively, the state line is right up there. So if you just floor it, we'll get there before he can get to us. It's like, can't they arrest you like over the border? It depends on the state, and Kentucky and Tennessee do not have an agreement. So his jurisdiction ends the second you're in Kentucky territory.
And eastbound down.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're very lucky that Buford T. Justice wasn't following you.
Well, he doesn't get off on the exit and then immediately get back on.
Yeah,
because then whichever way they turn off the exit, they don't get you.
Yeah. Florida got up to about 130, and once the state line was in view, the cop that was following us just turns his flashers off and turns around.
I was going like, you know, 15 over or whatever, and that cop going the other way turns on his lights and he U-turns. I merge into traffic. He pulled over the guy behind me. I felt a little guilty.
Similar car.
I mean, just a basic car, right? Sure, it was just like a four-door with a trunk, whatever, car. And it was nighttime.
Oh, okay.
So the cop just saw the shape of the car and guessed and pulled that guy over.
Yeah, I have no stories like that at all, unfortunately.
Zappity.
Grumble. Off to recommendations.
I recommend Ernest.
Ernest Goes
Yes.
Scared Stupid?
Ernest Scared Stupid, Ernest Goes to Camp, Ernest Goes to Jail, the TV show, Ernest Saves Christmas, goddamned Ernest. I think people have forgotten about that entire series, and I'll be honest, like, there's like 8 movies, and there's diminishing returns. Camp, Jail, and Stupid, they got you covered. You know, you don't need to do, like, High Jump Ernest and stuff like that. It kind of, the well ran a little dry, but... Ernest Goes to Camp, Ernest Goes to Jail, Ernest Scared Stupid, and Ernest Saves Christmas are all fucking wonderful. Especially, I absolutely love Ernest Scared Stupid. Meak never fails to make me laugh. I bet you didn't think I could get it out of season. Probably the best joke ever. just Ernest. If you're nostalgic for him, it's probably been too long since you've watched any of those movies. If you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, it's definitely been too long since you watched one of those movies because you never have.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I grew up in Kentucky, and Jim Varney is from Kentucky.
Yeah.
And could not hear
that's
about that.
So sad that, yeah, he passed on, but it's awesome.
It's wonderful. Excellent comedic stuff. And yes, Scared Stupid is actually scary. Like, as a kid, that movie's fucking terrifying. That troll is scary. He kills those kids. Like, they come back at the end, spoilers. But during the movie, like, main character children, like, you're watching, like, the Goonies or whatever, or Monster Squad, right? But all the kids get through it. And Scared Stupid, he'll pick those kids off one by one like a slasher flick. Scary shit. Eartha Kitt, great.
Also, go to Jail has got the Electro Man.
It does. And the two buddies he has that are in every movie where the one never talks, you get that Penn and Teller style thing. Oh. They're great.
Eggs erroneous. Well, that's off of the Camp.
Mm-hmm.
And never do this to a badger.
Yes. Never do this to a badger. They're wonderful movies. Rewatch them if it's been too long. Watch them for the first time if you've never watched them.
Where can you watch them?
You can probably get them for a buck at your local used DVD store.
They might be on Amazon Prime.
They might be on... I don't think they're on Hulu or Netflix. I'll check, but look, find them. Find them. It's the time of year for Scared Stupid. Goes to Jail and Goes to Camp are classics. Mm-hmm. And then in a couple months, go ahead and watch them Save Christmas.
I mean, at least if you're going to watch any of the Ernest movies, I would recommend just Goes to Camp. Because that's the first,
yeah, that the was
first,
the
fish,
big,
first one,
and
that also has the most budget. And you can definitely tell as the movies go on that their budget is less and
Jail
less.
And Stupid, Jail and Scared Stupid, I think, are okay.
Yeah, no, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. They're less and less budget, but they still have decent budget. Like, the special effects in Scared Stupid are pretty dang good for the 80s. But once you get into, like, High Jump Ernest and, like, Ernest Goes to the Jungle or whatever, like, they get real, we're just pooping these things out for a nickel. I think those were all direct-to-DVD, direct-to-video VHS at the time.
And that was the death song for most sequels. You heard it was a direct-to-DVD or something like that. Like, ooh, Lion King 2? What? Aladdin 2? What? Actually, a lot of the Disney direct-to-DVDs were horrible, except for Lion King Half, because that was an amazing film.
Ernest in the Army, Ernest Goes to School, Ernest Goes to Africa, Slam Dunk Ernest. Sorry, I was getting that wrong. Ernest Rides Again. Yeah.
I remember Ernest in the Army being decent, though.
Dr. Otto and the Riddle of the Gloom Beam?
Is that the Dr. Otto, the heavier set guy that does all the talking in there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jim Varney plays Dr. Otto in this. This is pre-Ernest, because Ernest goes to camp.
Yeah, there were a couple of movies he was in.
Because this was 86.
There were a couple of movies he was in that he played the villain, and they were bad movies, but I thought he actually was a good villain, which was really the shock after the role he's more known for.
And the TV series was Hey Vern, It's Ernest.
Yeah. I don't think you ever saw Vern through any of these. They always seem to be like a blog specifically to Vern.
Oh, Dr. Otto and the Riddle of the Gloom Beam, he was in there as an unnamed cameo role. Apparently one of Dr. Otto's disguises was basically Ernest. And then Ernest Goes to Camp was 87. Wow, it was like every year like clockwork. Camp was 87, Christmas is 88, Goes to Jail is 90, Scared Stupid is 91. Those four are all solid. And then Rides Again goes to school, Slam Dunk Ernest, Ernest goes to Africa, and Ernest in the Army. Rides Again apparently went to the video, went to the theatrical release, but School, Slam Dunk, Africa, and Army are all direct to video. Yeah. Whatever. The point is, love them.
Yeah. So I am going to recommend, and also it's kind of fucked if you do, fucked if you don't, Link's Awakening for the Switch. It is probably one of the most beautiful Link games I've seen for a Zelda game. It's just amazing. It's breathtaking the way the game is. The part I don't recommend about it, but you have to go do it to get the fucking game, is it's $60
Yeah.
For
a remake of a Game Boy game.
Remake of a Game Boy game that's it also had other iterations that have been on the systems before. The only reason why I suggest people go and get it is if the game is profitable, they might put that same treatment to the other Game Boy games to redo them, because they have all the tools now. All they have to do is just put in the extra stuff for those, so we can get the Oracle of Ages. I think the Oracle of Ages, the Seasons games for the Game Boy, so they can start releasing those. We can get Link to the fucking Past done in that style, because, like I said, the game is easily one of the most beautiful things I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun to play still. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not worth the $60, but...
get it on sale. It's worth $40.
It's worth $40. It's a Nintendo game, so you're not going to get it on fucking sale.
That's true.
Ever.
Valid.
That's why it's almost worth it to, if you can buy it. Games that don't have any kind of digital discount, I feel you should be able to just go and buy it physically. Like, especially some of the Nintendo games, because, I mean, there's no reason why that.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I have... for most of the Switch games, I prefer buying physical copies because we've got two Switches, because we've got kids, and physical copies are so much easier than having to do the thing of switching the license between Switches.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Yeah, somebody who's in the house wanted to play Link's Awakening, and they couldn't.
Yeah. That said, we're probably going to have to get a second copy of Dragon Quest Builders, too.
Sorry. Yeah. Link's Awakening, great game. Wish it wasn't $60. It was definitely worth $40 of game time. I mean, it has the neat thing they added to it in this version. They added kind of almost like a Mario Maker, where you can actually build your own Zelda dungeons, and then they don't give you any way to share them. You can supposedly store them on amiibos.
Why?
And you can take that amiibo to a friend's house, and they can play it that way. I don't know why there's no online share.
That's wow.
Nintendo doesn't understand internet, so yes. That's the...
Well, yeah. If you try to use anything, any of their internet stores or anything like that on any Nintendo console, you can understand that they have no idea how the internet actually works.
They sure as hell know how to monetize Mario Kart for the mobile devices, though. Holy shit.
But isn't this another company that they licensed it to monetize it? Or?
No.
Oh.
They've dipped their toe into that market.
Yeah. You can't even get Mario without a premium subscription to Mario Kart.
Well, he's a random drop. He has a 1% in loot boxes.
Yes.
So you either have a 1% chance of getting him in a loot box, or you can subscribe to their monthly subscription fee to get Mario.
And you can't even play on the highest CC on there. So like normally there's like the 50, 100, 150, 200 CC. You can't play the 200 CC without a monthly $5 subscription, which is more than their Nintendo Online subscription is. Because like their Nintendo Online for the Switch, I think it's like $20 for a year. So we're looking at,
and this is for a shitty phone version of Mario Kart. Like, why not just get Mario Kart on the Switch?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's no reason for me to want to play that, because it seems like that game would be a ridiculous battery hog.
Yeah, I've given up on those kinds of games. Like any of like the Clash of Clans or like the Final Fantasy style, like I just can't do those phone games anymore.
Yeah,
I just can't.
Yeah, I just, because phones are terrible platforms for gaming, just because of the control limitations. Yeah.
I mean, it's a giant touchscreen, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, going back a conversation, you could have Darkest Dungeon on your phone. It's just a phenomenal game. It's just people phone games, unfortunately, most phone games aren't that. Like, they were going down that path where phones could have been a legitimate game platform, and then all of a sudden they all became Clash of Clans style
money grabs.
Money grabs, yeah. And yeah. That died on the vine. And so if you want to bring that back, you need to just release, make a good game that I pay you $10 for that plays well on a touchscreen this size and make that legitimate again.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my complaint about gaming on phones is that either you're trying to run an action game that is fairly interface light, and then the input device, the input mechanism is then terrible because you don't have an actual, you don't have an actual motion control other than the accelerometer on the phone, which varies radically in quality from phone to phone.
Yeah.
Or you have something that is not an action game, and then then you have such a small space to work with, you can't put enough information on the screen at once to have a particularly interesting game, like, in my opinion.
Hearthstone on the phone is decent, but it is not the same as playing on the PC.
Yeah,
its interface is good, but it's so much easier to sit on.
Some phones aren't that much smaller than the Switch. Yeah. Is all I'm saying. Yeah. And so any game that you can play on the Switch, you could play on the phone as long as you figure out a way for it to work touchscreen.
Yeah,
and Switch exists.
Yeah,
it's like the argument between Chick-fil-A and Popeyes. Popeyes exists, and therefore is better.
Well, except I wouldn't need to buy a Switch, right? Like, I already own a phone.
Yeah.
So in theory, a phone could be a legitimate platform for those games as long as they were designed that way.
Yeah, I just think that because of the limitations to gameplay, because of both control and form factor, the gaming on the phone lends itself to the loot box-a-thons that we see as the big ones.
Well, it lends itself towards like strategy games,
puzzle games,
and and you can definitely do stuff like Darkest Dungeon or FTL or XCOM. You can have XCOM on this.
Yeah, I don't know.
You would want to, depending on your vision, you might want to limit yourself to only if you have a bigger phone, but you can have that style of legitimate game on a phone in theory.
In theory.
But they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, hell.
So Link's Awakening is a great game.
Yes.
I mean, in playing...
Yeah, Link's Awakening on a phone. Huh? You would just have to have, like, you'd have to do the thing where, like, this touch corner here basically has the D-pad on it.
I know. I've played those before. I hate it.
They can go back to basically having the same controls that they had on the Game Boy, because there's very limited controls on there where you had to switch weapons all the time. Mm-hmm. The Link's Awakening, they expand upon it a lot better. So they auto
Miss style game?
LucasArts
style, you know?
I mean, honestly, when I'm playing Fire Emblem Three Houses on the Switch, I don't like play. The game is interface heavy enough that I prefer playing it on a monitor than anything else.
Sure. Well, that's because you're an old man.
Yeah.
You need to get your bifocals on, old man.
Yeah. Seriously.
Zappity.
Grumble.
We don't do Zappity Grumbles through.
We do Zappity Grumbles whenever we want to. Damn it. Oh,
yeah. Did you do a recommendation?
No, I was just about to.
Zappity.
Okay, grumble.
We're over 2 hours.
Yeah. So I'm going to recommend...
it's because you had to talk about your box.
I did.
This took an hour to talk about.
Yes.
I did.
Yes. So I'm going to recommend trying out the Oktoberfest beer style from your local brewery, which is a nice thing, because even though today is actually the last day of Oktoberfest, because it starts in September and actually is sometimes over before October starts, even though most Americans think it just runs for October. However, this has zero impact on the availability of Oktoberfest beer, and your local brewery probably has one. Yes, just yesterday I got the Staghorn from New Glarus, which I thought was excellent, because I especially like the style. It is not terribly bitter. It is a very malty style beer that's a little heavier than a typical lager. It's more of a malt characteristic, and most importantly, for getting a beer from a local brewery, it's not a fucking IPA.
Yeah.
So
one of the things I love about New Glarus is that they have resisted that.
because they're a higher quality brewery. They don't just need to shit out IPAs to cover low quality ingredients.
Yeah, they have
not
like
to say that they don't have.
They have like two IPAs.
Sure,
but, I mean,
they have a couple for the people who think they like them.
Yeah.
But then they make actual good beer and sell it.
And they're Oktoberfest. This was the first year I've had it, and it is excellent. But yeah, it is just so nice to have when it's like when you have smaller breweries that are making a beer that isn't a fucking IPA. It's amazing.
Nice.
Sweet.
It's 8 or 9 that you can't buy alcohol. It's 9?
What?
In stores?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
To 9, okay.
Yeah, so you're looking to see if you can...
I might take him up on his recommendation on my way home.
I thought about it, but I have to pee.
Fair enough.
All right.
Bye.
All right.
Thank you guys for watching. We'll see you guys next week. Nathan and I will be here for...
I'll be in Michigan.